One of the distinguishing features of holiday season is a parade. Start with Thanksgiving, go right through Christmas, right on through New Year's, and sometime during this season, you aptly will find yourself either pretending a parade or perhaps watching a parade. Some people clear their calendars out just so that those parades will be available to them and they will be able to watch them from beginning to end with a fascination. You probably have seen a program or two where you get to go behind the scenes and somebody is in a mad dash to get all the fresh flowers attached to the parades before they start to go bad on them. They work in coal buildings and otherwise, all of it just so they can entertain and make this a holiday season that no one will forget and perhaps woo the judges and win a prize along the way. But every city loves to have a parade, a Santa Claus parade, or some kind of parade that brings publicity and goodwill to the community. I have realized that in some ways a passing parade is really an appropriate symbol for this season. For many people, there is the strong impression that you've just been a part of a passing parade. They came in the front door. They went through every room in the house, and they turned to the right, they turned to the left, and they, as they went through, they dropped things along the way and made themselves at home in this corner and that corner, and then they doubled back through the house, and then after a few days, they went out the same door. A passing parade went through your house of family and children, and nothing quite like it when they arrive, and nothing quite like it when they go. And if you didn't have that parade visit you, then you may have attended that, but the impression's pretty much the same. You dash into and out of more conversations and more meals and more places and more malls and more activities in a very short period of time than you can quite get your arms around, your mind around, and it sort of leaves you exhausted, and you come to this particular day when we are past Christmas, but we are still sort of catching our breath and also trying to catch up with all the family budgets that have been somehow brought into disassembly because of this time of the year. Can you recall, if you will, what it felt like when you went to that parade and it was gathered crowds, the last float of the parade passed, the crowd dispersed, and you made your way perhaps around a corner and down a street, and all of a sudden you find yourself there all by yourself. Everybody who came, everybody is gone, and there you are, left quietly unto yourself. That happened to Mary and I yesterday about noon, having spent several days in Houston with our family and made our way through security at the airport. And though we were in the airport, we were walking down that corridor, and we said to one another, you know, it sure is quiet. Because we had been with up to 25 people there in the house, and one small child who's equal to at least a half a dozen normal child who want to scream and holler at everything that goes on. And so it's been quite a parade in that household. But we found ourselves just in that quiet corner of life. And maybe that's where you are, because that's exactly where we arrive in our text this morning. In the quiet corner of life after the parade has gone by. And here are Mary and Joseph and the newborn babe with them. The shepherds came making their wonderful pronouncements, but those shepherds had sheep in the fields. And having done the thing they were appointed to do and celebrated the birth of the child, they had to hurry back to the fields and take care of the sheep that were there. The wise men, we are told, could have traveled as long as 2 years, but certainly they've been on diligent search for any number of days. And they have arrived, and they have escaped danger, and they have done the thing that they came to do, to worship the Christ child. And now that being done, they have families of their own back in long distance places. And so they are back there, and each of these, as they have come and they are gone, they are asking themselves in their own quiet corners, what is this event mean for us? And yes, what would it be like without music in the season? The angels came. They made the beautiful, beautiful music of this beautiful scene, the grandeur that could only be presented by the angels has been brought to us. But we don't control the angels, and they herald their coming and they herald their going and they're gone. And then there's Herod, who executed the innocents and perhaps felt safe once again to return to his lyre, and so we do not see him. And the crowds that were in the Bethlehem Inn and the people that were moving all over the land getting registered have all done their registering, and now they have returned to their hometowns, and the roads are quiet and the towns are quiet, and the glow of Bethlehem's star has lost its place, and the heavenly constellation has parted, and it seems that even the heavens themselves are back to the quiet place. So what are we left with after the parade has passed? We're left with a father and a mother and a child, a family, an ordinary family and ordinary days. Mary has regained her strength after the birth, and Joseph, anxious to get home, says to her, Mary, are you ready to travel? It's time for us to get back to Nazareth, to get back to the responsibility that rests upon us. The future awaits us. We have work to be done. Now, folk, we have just summarized where Jesus will stay for the next 30 years. In two verses of Scripture, everything that we are to know, with the exception, one little short exception there, when he comes at 12 years of age to the temple with his family, and that event unfolds. But 90% of the life of Jesus Christ, the most important man that's ever walked on the face of this earth, 90% of his life was lived in the silent years, the quiet, obscure years, out of the spotlight, out of the focus, our not knowing exactly what is going on in his life. If he lived today, I'm sure that we would have had a reality camera crew over there filming him 24 hours a day like they did on the Truman Story, and we would want to have a daily input on what is happening in the life of this child. None of that is provided for us. It is all guesswork, except for these two verses that we are given to summarize what happened to Jesus in all of those years. So I want us to learn what the lesson is, because there's a message here that cannot be overlooked if we're willing to see it. First of all, we observe most of our days as ordinary days, as out of the limelight, out of the focus, just ordinary days, not Christmas, not New Year's, but just ordinary days. For every one holiday, we've got a lot more ordinary days that unfold in our lives. And special visitors do come, and special visitors do go, and we are back to where we were as our individual families. So hear me now. In our ordinary days, there must be production, because if there is not, most of life passes by us without us bringing the fruit to bear that God expects of us. You see, if we do not have the motivation to serve God in our ordinary days, then we are going to miss out on most of the opportunities we have to be God's children and do God's work and accomplish God's things in our lives. If the motivation for us has to be the gathering of a family or the passing of a parade or some event that we would describe as spectacular, extraordinary, wonderful, is that our motivation, then we're going to miss out on what God expects of us. I love the fact that we see Mary and Joseph returning to their little cottage someplace in Nazareth, not dependent upon the visit of an angel or a wise man or a shepherd or any other remarkable thing, but they knew what the will and the work of God was in their lives, and they went about doing it. This much I believe, that all that Mary and Joseph did for their firstborn, they also did for the rest of their children, who came in quick succession, so far as we know. What we can celebrate today is that when Jesus left the shadows of his home place, having lived those many years in the obscurity, away from the knowledge of the public, what we can celebrate today is that when he left there, he was fully prepared to fulfill the role God had assigned to him. Isn't that a challenge for every parent, for every one of us? When we live our lives before God, not for others, not for others' recognition, not for others' attention, but we live our lives where we are before God in the quietness of our own corners, that the Spirit of God should so direct us and so guide us that when we have opportunity to step out of the shadows of the home place, we are fully prepared to do the will and the work of God wherever God leads us. Life afforded Jesus only 3 short years to accomplish remarkable things. In 3 short years, Jesus had the responsibility of selecting some disciples that would be the inner core, the ones who would be themselves, the trainers, those who would help to equip and preach this word and understand this word and distribute this word. And then Jesus had the responsibility of distributing that word with his love, his deeds, his acts of kindness from village to village throughout that land, and to implement an understanding of the kingdom of God in the hearts and lives of people, and ultimately to fulfill his role as the sacrifice for our sinfulness at the cross. Those 3 years, however, proved to be enough. Why? Because during those silent years, those obscure years, Jesus was preparing himself to be God's person. The ministry of Jesus, people, is the confirmation of the work of Mary and Joseph. Because as the parents did their job, the child was prepared to do his job. As we walk away from these activity-filled days into the quiet corners of our lives, we need to know that the most important thing is to be doing God's work when nobody else sees us or knows us. That child, as the scripture tells us, was according to the law. They did what was prescribed for the law for them. That is, the child was circumcised, an offering was made, and then it was left up to them. It was handed to them to take over the responsibility. They dedicated not just a child in that temple. They dedicated themselves. They made up their minds that God had blessed them and they were going to bless the child that God might use it. Today reminds us that when no one else may be observing our lives, God is. And God's expectation is that we be exactly as Jesus was. And this is a second lesson for us. We be about our growing. Now we reach adulthood and we ask ourselves, what is there left as a challenge for life? We've seen it, we've experienced it, we've tasted it, we've been there. What is there left? What element of growth is there left for us? But if you make a close observation of every living thing in this world, you will note that that which distinguishes that living thing is an element of growth. In the trees that are around us, those trees have branches that serve for their day, and then those branches fall off. They have leaves that serve for their day, and then they fall off, but they are part of a larger thing, the growth, the development of that tree itself. And that's what's essential about our lives, that we see ourselves as having to produce, having to contribute to the kingdom of God, that the kingdom may be moving forward because the kingdom is larger than any one of us or any one of us could accomplish. But if we give our part, if we do our thing, then the kingdom of God is strengthened by that. And that only comes by our willingness to grow right along with the kingdom of God. So listen to me. Our bodies are in decline. I was reading the other day, by the time we're 28, we're on the way downhill. That didn't sound very encouraging. But the most remarkable spiritual truth in the Word of God must be the fact that God gives us a spirit, and by His Spirit, our spirits are renewed day by day. And so if I'm understanding the Word of God, while our bodies are wearing out, our spirits have the capacity to keep right on growing, go right on serving, right on being useful in the kingdom of God. And we never, as long as we have life within us, we never exhaust that possibility. We never have a time when we can say we have nothing left to contribute to the kingdom of God. I read this comment recently. We don't stop running because we grow old. We grow old because we stop running. That could be applied to life. As long as we are growing, we never grow old. It's when we stop growing that we enter into decline. And people do decline. People decline spiritually if they don't realize the gift that God has given them, the opportunity that God has afforded each of us to go right on growing and being His person. We're going to have some personal storms along the way. It's inevitable. But what do those storms do when they shake a tree? They force that tree, the roots of that tree, to go deeper, to go stronger, to accommodate whatever storms are ahead of us. And so it is by God's design. He gives many of us ordinary days, that in those ordinary days we are meeting the challenges that are there. We're doing the work and the will of God, and by that, whether we realize it or not, we are growing stronger, more equipped to do God's work. We have shaping moments, times when we have an event in our life that catches our attention so dramatically that for the rest of our days we live out in relationship to that moment. But even the most dramatic of moments for us, our conversion experience in Christ, that is only a starting place. We have to go from that place to grow into that experience until we become the child that God wants us to become with the strength to serve and to lead. I want you to imagine for a moment that you were either Mary or Joseph. That is, you were given the responsibility of bringing this child to the point of maturity. That heavy responsibility has fallen upon you to bring this child, ground this child in the faith that God would have you to ground the child. You would want, wouldn't you, to teach this child a love for others. You'd want to teach this child to honor God day in and day out. You'd want this child to have all the life lessons that you could possibly find and offer and teach. Well, you see, the simple truth is this, that every child among us, whether we are the parent to that child, or we are church leaders, or we are influencers as Christians, every child deserves that same kind of effort on our part. That same opportunity, that same dedication from us, so that they do come to that place where when they emerge as an adult, they have that, all of that grounding, all of that background that we have made it a point to provide for them. We're living in a time when most people have more material goods than at least 95% of all the people in the history of the world have ever experienced. To get the impact of that, you only have to go into a lot of living rooms and now perhaps into a lot of dens and a lot of bedrooms in the homes of America. You will find an overly indulged household, not just children, but an overly indulged household. We have our gadgets, our toys, and our wants and our wishes all displayed materially before us. But the fact remains that none of that adds one bit to fulfilling the challenge of helping a child to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children need to develop good physical bodies. They need exercise, they need sleep, they need good food. The human body must be nurtured if it's going to serve us well. Treated well, and it will treat us well. Yet the truth is that we've allowed all this bad cultural habit to infiltrate our own homes. So we have a third of America's children faced with the possibility of juvenile diabetes. Since 1984, we have doubled the rate of obesity in this nation. We have more abuse now of the bodies than we've ever had. Drugs and alcohol and poor foods. And why, we ask? All along the way, we've got to ask ourselves, who's responsible for this? Who's letting this happen? Is it the vendors who are selling poor foods to us? Is it the church that's not doing its job? Is it the school that's not doing its job? None of those are the answer to that question. The answer to that question belongs to us, to whom the responsibility is given for making sure that our children grow mentally and physically and spiritually. Spiritually, children have to be taught. We like to think, well, if we just model for them, but that's not enough. We gotta make our homes a place where they come to understand the Word of God and hear the Word of God taught and read and shared over and over again. Ordinary days, people, are our most valuable days because they are our days of preparation for meeting the challenges that lie before us. There's a passage in Jeremiah that reads like this. If you have wearied with the foot soldiers, what will you do when the horsemen arrive? If in the ordinary days, if we find ourselves exhausted, unable to meet the challenges and build up a reserve to meet the larger challenges of life, where are we? Are we staying close to God? Are we letting God do for us what God wills to do? There's an animated film that follows, it's called Up, that follows the last great adventure of a 78-year-old balloon salesman. His name is Carl Ferguson. But in order to tell Carl's story, we have to have a kind of a prequel to it, a story within a story. In order to know what's going to happen on his adventure and understand him, we got to back up. And so the very beginning of the film, the filmmakers kind of give us a little quick, no words spoken, musical background only, summation, vignette of the life of Carl. And in Carl's life, we see, first of all, his and Ellie's wedding day with all the joy of a wedding day. Then within a matter of a few seconds, we see them in their first home. We see them at their first jobs as Carl is selling balloons at the zoo and Ellie is a zookeeper. Then the couple races up a grassy hill together and they look up into the clouds and every cloud is shaped like a baby and The next scene, we see them preparing a nursery. But life isn't all idyllic. For then we see them in a hospital room and prenatal charts on the wall and Ellie with her face in her hands crying and Carl there with his hand on her shoulder trying to comfort her through this loss. And the next scene captures them as they have a dream to travel together to a place called Paradise Falls. And Ellie is in that anticipation kind of renewed from her loss. And so she gets a dream jar, which she labels it Paradise Falls. And so then they prepare for that, but life moves on, and the car develops its problem, and so the jar must be broken, and the money must be spent. And then Carl goes to the hospital, and so the jar must be broken, and the money must be spent. And then the roof, tree falls on the roof, and they must break the jar, and they must repair the roof. And then we see them when Carl and Ellie have gray hair. And Carl buys the two tickets to make the trip. But before he can do so, Ellie is gone. You see, Carl's whole story is told in just 2 or 3 minutes' time without any words spoken. But we all understand it. And we understand in seeing it the brevity, the quickness with which life does pass us. And all of our ordinary days will always be ordinary days until we understand God's power within us to transform ordinary days into something extraordinary. Christmas is past us. It matters not one whit. For we who are the followers of Christ, for we have only come to receive Him in all of His love and all of His grace. And that grace will not leave us, no matter what the nature of the day, nor the circumstances of the day. He cannot be lost. What He has to give us has become ours forever and ever. And all of our ordinary days will always be extraordinary because of Him. Pray with me. Father, we come once again to this place to worship and to realize that we all have these quiet corners of life when nobody else is looking, but we know that You are. When nobody else is directing us, but we know that You are. When nobody else is challenging us, but we know that You are. So, our Heavenly Father, be unto us the God that You are on this day when we are attempting to deal with the ordinary in life and see what, in fact, it truly is by the gift You have provided for us in Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray now. Amen.